to you from the Armed American Radio Studios on Peachtree Street in downtown Atlanta. This is Armed American Radio. Here is Mark Walters.
Folks, this is going to be a really good hour. We have some very difficult stories to talk about with my guests, Rob Pincus and his co-host on Best Defense on the Outdoor Channel, Michael Bain. Before we get to both of them, let's get a little bit of business out of the way. You might want to chime in on this one. This is going to be a good one. 877-956-9566. 877-956-9566. Mark at armedamericanradio.org. Twitter.com/AARMark. And we'll read your comments on the air. Also, join the USCCA.com. Now is the time to do it. The three bargains, I say, that I've had up there for the last couple months will be expiring on the 30th of this month. So now's the time to pull the trigger. Right, Sean?
Yes, it is.
Now's the time.
Now's the time.
Now's the time to pull the trigger and get some free stuff in the process. Free stuff rules. We all like free stuff. Also, Lessons from Armed America. .com. Check it out. Pick up a copy of my book, Lessons from ArmedAmerica.com. We are working on the next one now. How about that, Sean?
Sounds great, man.
Yeah, pretty cool. More Lessons from Armed America. And you know what? I want to give a plug to my friend James Toll at American Trigger Sports Network, ATSN.TV. I've been contributing and been participating every Wednesday as a guest on the American Trigger Sports Network, talking about some of the things we discuss here on Armed American Radio, as well as some stories of folks who have used a firearm to defend themselves. Having said that, check out American Trigger Sports Network, ATSN.TV. Welcome back, folks. Rob Pincus, you are back. Welcome. Do we have Rob?
Yeah.
Where is Rob?
He's probably posting to his Facebook page.
I was.
See?
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Michael Bain, our friend. We love
him. Not posting to his Facebook page, I would like to say that.
Michael Bain, welcome to Armed American Radio, my friend. Always a pleasure.
Mark, always good to be on. It's darn fun. And Rob, hey, how you doing?
Good, man. I haven't seen you in like 5 days.
I know. It's been days. I'm starting to get withdrawal.
You can tell folks that they work together.
It's like an old married couple, aren't we?
An old married couple. And they're both young guys, too. Let's state that. Hey, guys, before we get to the Eric Scott deal out in that very disturbing situation out there in Vegas, surrounding Vegas in Nevada, we have the Florida Stand Your Ground law is going to get tested here. And I want to tell both of you and the listeners of this, and folks, pay very close attention to this, because maybe your state has also passed a stand your ground law. So goes Florida gun laws, so go the nations, as they say. In this particular case, we have three teens in a burglary, home invasion. The homeowner, Michael, did what any homeowner would do if he were armed. He heard the glass break, he retrieved his firearm. Someone was coming through his window. He fired. He hit one of the burglars in the head. Another one was wounded. This was in Polk County, out there a little bit east of Tampa. And they all three were arrested. Two wounded. One of the teens who was shot in the head later died after the home invasion. The other teens, the surviving teens, are now charged with felony murder as accomplices. Now, there's a twist to this, because it was found after the shooting, the individual was not charged. In fact, he had the support, obviously, of Sheriff Grady Judd. And I quote Sheriff Grady Judd, quite frankly, when you're right, the law's on your side. When you're wrong, the law's against you. We have one of the grandmothers of the surviving teens who says this is a nightmare. One day everything's fine, and the next it's upside down. We have another grandmother who says boys will be boys. It's his first time ever being in trouble, and they, meaning prosecutors, should do nothing. Now, these two teens are staring at the remainder of their lives in prison because they're being charged with murder because their accomplice was shot during the commission of the felony home invasion. Michael, let's start with you. Your thoughts on that?
You know, felony murder's been around a long time. And you know, I think that sometimes, and there's been some cases in Colorado where you think this is just nuts, where, you know, but on the other hand, I think because it's been around a long time, boys will be boys, but a home invasion is still a home invasion. And, you know, I think a lot of times we think about teens, and, you know, when we say, well, teens, how were we as, you know, and I'm certainly probably the oldest of the three here, but how were we as teens? Well, we as teens would never have thought of breaking into somebody's house because we figured the likelihood of death was about 99% in Tennessee.
Right.
And so that's not the kind of thing you ever did, even to boys being boys. I think it's unfortunate for them, but perhaps they should have thought before they broke into someone's home.
Well, there's a twist here also. The statute in Florida requires, get this, requires a mandatory sentence of life in prison. Now, of course, mandatory sentences. People have their own thoughts on mandatory sentences, but the judge has no discretion. If these teens are found guilty, it is mandatory life in prison. So, Rob, what are your thoughts here?
I can't imagine that... that'll go in that direction, but kind of like Michael said, there are consequences and to your actions. And if these kids were unaware of the consequences of their actions, that's not an excuse. In this case, is life in prison incredibly harsh for what they may have thought was a prank? Maybe we may think that, but if they thought breaking into someone's house was a prank, their perspective was skewed in the beginning. So I can't lose a lot of sleep over what might happen to the kid that did something incredibly wrong and foolish in the first place.
Agreed. And it's going to be interesting to watch this one wind its way through. It's a very difficult question to grapple with, no question about it, as their families deal with this. We have a second situation out there, and this one was in Tampa last May. A gentleman by the name of Eric Cananinco held three Plant High School students at gunpoint outside his girlfriend's home, and he claims that the boys arrived threatening harm to his girlfriend. He held the teens at gunpoint. One of the teens approached him, got a little bit lewd and rude. What are you going to do, old man? You going to kill me? That type of thing. The homeowner, who was holding them at gunpoint, fired a warning shot into the ground. He was subsequently arrested for illegal discharge of a firearm and false imprisonment. One of those three teens, incidentally, is the son of the University of South Florida football coach who happens to be Lou Holtz's son. So it is Lou Holtz's grandson. And he's charged with false imprisonment and illegal discharge of a firearm. A judge refused to dismiss the charges last week. And the attorney says the charges are justified. He had a deadly weapon, a firearm. Nobody's confronting him with similar force. Of course, now we get into the disparity of force argument.
You know, that's something Mark, that's something that Rob and I have been talking about, and also Michael Janich for Best Defense, because, of course, this case it echoes the more serious case on Long Island in New York, in Nassau County, where the gentleman involved fired four warning shots into the ground when faced with what police say is as many as 24 gang members.
Right.
And I think that, you know, when Rob and I are talking about this in advance, it part of the problem that we see for concealed carry holders, or not concealed carry holders, but people who are defending themselves, is an inability to articulate what the situation is. Am I in fear for my life? Is in a disparity of force situation, am I in fear for my life? The second thing is, good Lord, there is no such thing as a warning shot, ever. You do not fire warning shots, period.
Great point.
Period, period. And you know, that's something I think it's Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, but, I mean, that's a television thing. We fired a warning shot. I mean, no police department in America allows a warning shot.
Right.
Nor should any, to the best of my knowledge. And certainly within civilian self-defense, a warning shot is always a mistake.
Well, Michael, we're going to watch those cases closely as they wind their way through the courts. And you've got a guy down there in Tampa who made a comment in the article, Scott Patrick. He owns Shoot Straight down in Tampa, where I've been many, 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 many times at
the gun
store and shooting range. Yeah. And he said you should only use a gun when you believe your life or the lives of family members are in danger. That's a great point. When we come back, we'll talk about what's happening in Nevada. You're on the Armed American Radio Network.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS that you can't afford to pay? Or are you stuck in a tax payment plan that is getting you nowhere? The IRS is now taking very aggressive actions, such as bank levies and wage garnishments. If you owe the IRS at least $15,000, call American Tax Relief. They've helped thousands of people like you eliminate up to 85% of their delinquent taxes. Call 1-800-605-3241. If you qualify, American Tax Relief can settle your debts for less than you owe, remove penalties and interest, and protect you from bank levies and garnishments. As a hardworking American, you do have rights. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation and see how much money they can save you. Call 1-800-605-3241. If you qualify, you can save up to 85% on the taxes you owe. Call right now. 1-800-605-3241. That's 1-800-605-3241.
Hi everybody, Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
The Galco SC2 is the perfect concealed carry holster for all seasons. The SC2 is lightweight and comfortable with a snap-on design that allows the holster to attach and detach from your belt without removing the belt itself. Constructed of premium saddle leather, the SC2 utilizes a reinforced thumb brake strap for added retention. Check out the Galco SC2 for semi-automatics and double-action revolvers. Galco, for those who demand the best and know the difference. To order, visit GalcoGunLeather.com.
One shot, one kill. That's Extreme Shock, the world's most advanced ammunition. For self-defense or hunting, there is no equal. Engineered to inflict maximum damage on its target, Extreme Shock's composite bullets fragment on impact, delivering devastating stopping power and carving catastrophic wounds. We've got the photos, videos, and testimonials to prove it. Find a dealer or order now at ExtremeShockUSA.net.
17-year-old Hannah says, "Sealed Mindset helped me develop a sense of self-value. I deserve to protect myself." Sealed Mindset student Rick said, "I took the course to protect my family. I asked my wife to take the course because I can't be there all the time." Sealed Mindset provides real knowledge, real skills, and real confidence in its world-class personal security training programs. For more information, visit SealedMindset.com. That's SealedMindset.com.
This hour of Armed American Radio is proudly being brought to you by the Gun Owners of America, the GOA, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Join the Gun Owners of America, folks, at gunowners.org. I did. Welcome back.
Man, time is flying, Sean. Set the clock back, for crying out loud.
I'm trying to hold it down.
Okay, we had a call come in during the break. A gentleman called and wanted to know the disposition of the, if there was a case against the guy who shot the intruder.
Yes.
He has not been arrested. However, this gets interesting. There were drugs found in his home. Now, here's the deal. If it is determined that he was illegally dealing drugs out of his home, the Stand Your Ground Castle Law will not apply. So we're going to watch this one very, very carefully and see what happens down there in Florida on that case. I hope that answers your question, caller. Thanks very much. We just ran out of time and didn't have time to get to that before we went to a break. Having said that, Rob Pincus, welcome back.
Glad to be back.
Michael Bain.
Also glad to be back.
Let's talk about Eric Scott.
Oh.
I'm going to turn this one over to you. This is a, you know, I got an email on this. Actually, I got a couple emails on this week, and I responded back and said, you know, I just don't know enough about this yet. I'm going to let this ride a little bit. And then I thought, you know, there's more going on now. The Inquisition, is happening, and there's more information coming out. And, man, you were right on top of it. Rob suggested, let's get Mike on here. So here you are. Tell us what's happening out there.
Well, I think that what's happening is a nightmare case is starting to weave its way through the legal system. The problem when we talk about what happened there, and I think most of the listeners are at least familiar with the fact that in July, a concealed carry holder, Eric Scott, was shot and killed by Las Vegas Metro Police outside of a Costco after what amounted to a minor altercation with a Costco clerk, who had told Mr. Scott that they saw Scott knelt down to test whether something fit in a cooler, I believe. The clerk saw the gun and told Scott that no, he was not allowed in the store with the firearm. Scott said that the store wasn't posted, the signs were not correctly in place, and at least this is the story that has appeared in the newspapers and appeared in the media, and promulgated certainly by Scott's parents. Eric Scott was a former military, apparently a totally upstanding individual. But you know, on a case like this, you don't know what happened. You do not know what happened. Apparently, as Scott came out of the store, he was confronted by Vegas Metro Police. And again, I think Rob and I both know a lot of people on Vegas Metro, and a lot of very good people on Vegas Metro. It's not as if they're a vigilante gang. And Scott was killed. And the key thing that brought it to my attention, of course, obviously it's a tragedy. Obviously, it needs to work through the entire court system. I mean, this has to be clarified by the courts, quite literally by the courts, as to what happened there. Everything that led up to it. I mean, the key point for me, though, is that it brought out a huge weakness in our own training. And one of the things that I think that Rob and I agree on is you're constantly looking at the real world to see where the flaws are in your training. You know, where's the hole in the system that you're working with? And it struck me that there's a huge hole here. That for so many of us who, you know, I carry on a day-to-day basis and have for like a long time. And what struck me was that there were so many points of I always want to see more than anything else in any kind of confrontation, I always want to see the points of de-escalation. And I want to have those points of de-escalation built into my own, I guess, strategic planning. And whenever I see an opportunity to de-escalate a situation as a concealed carry holder, I ideally want to do that, because more than anything else, I don't want to shoot anybody. You know, I don't want the grief. You know, I've been in situations, personally as a civilian, where according to my attorney, I was within my legal rights to pull the trigger, to defend myself. And I was able essentially to get out of those situations by looking for what points I could de-escalate on. And I felt very strongly that sometimes in our training, we don't emphasize the concept of de-escalation strong enough. And so I sent out an email to basically a list of the top trainers in the world, the absolute top firearms trainers in America, and said, so talk to me. You know, let's talk about this. Let's talk about issues of de-escalation and what's missing in our training. And interestingly enough, came back with almost everybody involved there. First person I heard back from, of course, was Rob. And said, yeah, Absolutely. You know, something we show routinely on Best Defense.
Right.
Constantly is how do you get out of this? What, you know, here's your best case, here's your you know, worst case, what's you know, most likely case. We want to show you, well, if you de-escalate it, you can get out of a situation that nobody ends up dead. And you know, I think another key point there is that I think just to use a verbal shorthand, I think that we all accept is the concept of condition red, you know, through the Cooper promulgated color coding system. Condition red is you were in an armed, you know, you're in a violent encounter. You know, everything has failed. You are now in a violent encounter. And I thought, you know what? Anytime we're in an encounter that can lead to violence, that can take us to violence, then maybe we need to see that as a condition red, and then maybe we need to immediately address it as such, where we're now looking for, you know, either to de-escalate, to escape, or to respond accordingly.
Okay, Mike, I want to stop you there for a second, because one of the things that comes to my mind is a Best Defense episode. And I believe it was the bank episode, where you have a gentleman coming out of a bank angry, mm-hmm. and someone else walking in. It may have been a convenience store, stop me if I'm wrong, but he was exiting, someone else was entering, and he does the typical testosterone, bumps into the guy, and a, hey, what are you doing? And you, I thought you covered de-escalation very well in that episode with, hey, nothing, man, I didn't do anything, didn't mean anything, sorry about that, even though he was right. He de-escalated, and I thought you guys covered that very, very well.
Thank you. And I think that, because I think that is so important, and at the same time, you know, it's because it kind of goes against all of our macho instincts, and, you know, something each of the top trainers told me, you know, in a situation like that, you're going to be angry when someone violates your rights, or when someone maybe violates your space or something like that. Is you're going to feel essentially your temper rise, and yet that's not necessarily what should be driving you there. Instead, you should you know that's the exact point you need to say to yourself. You know, I'm now in a situation of condition red.
Right.
I'm in a potential violent encounter. I need to set aside those emotions and work through my plan. Rob,
now, that is vital when you're carrying a gun, Rob, is it not?
Well, it's vital probably all the time. When you're driving the car, when you're, you know, standing in that doorway of the convenience store, as we had in that scenario there, or certainly when you're carrying a gun, and certainly when you're carrying the gun and confronted by someone with the badge and the gun on the other side. It's very similar to what we were talking about last hour. And in this case, you know, this guy was, whether he knew it or not, the place was apparently improperly posted, but he was in the wrong in this particular case that we're talking about in Nevada. It does go against that ego side of us, and it goes against a lot of the traditional training approach, which isn't scenario-based, isn't reality-based, and doesn't take the context of the use of force into account. And I think that's something that Michael Bain was clear about when he first mentioned the idea of the Best Defense. This wasn't going to be about how do we shoot somebody in the mall, how do we shoot somebody when we need to in our home, how do we shoot somebody when we need to in the street. It was going to be about how do we avoid needing to shoot someone, and then if we have...
All right, Rob, hold on to that thought. When we come back, we'll continue the discussion.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
With consumers still looking to save money wherever they can, getting the most out of their cars continues to be very important. Jody DeVere, president of Women's Automotive Association International, knows that using quality products in your car today can help save money in the long run.
Motor oil is called the lifeblood of your car's engine and one of the most important ways you can protect your investment. But all motor oils are not the same.
DeVere recommends asking for a high-quality oil by name because Pennzoil and Quaker State, for example, invest heavily in comprehensive product testing and are formulated to meet the demands of today's engines.
Don't leave the oil choice to the person behind the counter, because using a high-quality motor oil in the right grade can help maximize fuel economy, minimize emissions, and help save money by preventing costly engine damage.
For more information about the importance of high-quality motor oil, visit motoroilmatters.org. I'm Ron Javers.
Imagine all your important files are on your office computer, which is usually the case. So to work from home or while traveling, you have to copy files to CDs or to a flash drive or email files to yourself or sync up to your laptop. Whatever it is, it's a hassle, and half the time we forget to do it. So there's an answer. It's the answer I've been using for years. GoToMyPC. Use GoToMyPC to remotely access your office Mac or PC from any other computer on Earth. Simply log on to GoToMyPC.com and you'll have instant access to your Mac or PC. I had the computer of my home in front of me in Africa, thanks to GoToMyPC. It's easy to set up, easy to use, and as secure as online banking. If you or your employer don't have a web-based remote access service, now's the time. I want you to try GoToMyPC free today. I have a special 45-day free trial for my listeners if you use the promo code Prager. Visit GoToMyPC.com, click on the Try It Free button. Remember to use the promo code Prager.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care, with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Hi, it's Mike Gallagher, and you're listening to Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, redefining weekend talk radio.
Welcome back, folks. An unbelievable conversation. If you're just tuning into us, if you carry a gun for your personal defense, this is a conversation you do not want to miss. Feel free to chime in at 877-956-9566 if you're interested in participating. And I should take this opportunity to let you know, we've had a number of emails requesting information on various firearms and calibers and black powders and everything else for George Hill, the Mad Ogre. And I got an email from George today that said, I've got a migraine, and I'm just going to lay in bed till tomorrow morning. I'm taking the night off from the roundtable. I don't feel good. So, George, we hope you're getting better, because we know you are listening on KVEL out there in your hometown of Vernal, Utah. Feel better, my friend.
And, hey, George, that's wuss for an ogre.
I'm glad you said that, Michael. I didn't want to go there. You got Sean cracking up over here.
Wow.
But for those of you who have questions for George specifically, and there are a number of you, you know who you are, we will get to those next week. Thank you very much for your patience. Okay. We were talking about de-escalation, and we were talking about Eric Scott at the Costco out in, where was it, Somerville? Is that what it's called? Nevada,
yeah.
Michael?
Yeah.
You know, I want to point out that he was shot 5 times, if I'm not mistaken, twice in the chest and 3 times in the back by 3 different law enforcement officers who discharged their weapons. And like you said, you know, I wasn't there. I can't comment on it. I hesitated discussing this until I knew a little bit more about it, and I had the opportunity to do a lot more follow-up today, and I thought now was the good time to bring this up. But here we have a situation that we really don't know, and it will come out in court, I guess, hopefully. Sometimes these things don't.
Well, I certainly hope it does. But, again, something I want people to think about is, and I've actually seen this in training. I've seen this discussed in training and with some instructors, is, you know, when confronted by the police, show them your gun. So you say, I am armed, I'm a civilian, I'm legally armed, I'm going to show you my gun. And, you know, I was thinking about that, and I thought, okay, you know, we're carrying a concealed weapon, and we want to show the police where the concealed weapon is because we want them to be comfortable. So we're saying, you know, you have a gun. We have a gun on our person. We're going to show you where that gun is. And in order to do that, we're going to have to lift the concealing garment or push aside the concealing garment, whether it's a jacket or a vest or a shirt or whatever. We're going to have to somehow move that garment to show the gun. And we would probably do that with our off hand, because we're telling ourselves we don't want us to be a threat. And yet, think about this. What's the first step of a draw from concealment? You know, the first step of a draw from concealment is to remove the covering garment.
Right.
Whether you cast it back,
right,
whether you pull it up, and you do that with your off hand. Well, police departments know the same things we do. They go to the same schools we do. You know, they study the same things we do. And in an effort, maybe, you know, and I'm not saying this is what happened, but I'm saying that I could see very, very easily, even in my own case, of saying, you know, I'm armed, I want to show you where the gun is so you feel more secure, and so the first thing I do is also exactly the first thing I would do if I was going to draw. And I think at this point, police departments in their training make a point of the fact that not everybody on the street doesn't understand firearms, that there are people on this, and we've certainly seen that, you know, in crimes over the years, that there are some very firearm savvy criminals, and they know how to draw the gun because they learn from, you know, watching the same, reading the same things, watching the same things, watching the same television shows, watching the same videos as all of us did. So that's another example of where the things that we do in our head under that period of stress to that we're thinking, I want to make that police officer who's pointing that .45 caliber pistol at me, I want him to be very calm. So I'm going to do exactly, mathematically perfect, the wrong thing.
You know, Mike, this is an opportunity to mention. I had a situation happen to me years ago in Connecticut. When I was on my way home from work, it was about 10 o'clock at night, it was dark, it was cold out, and I was driving through an unfamiliar area of downtown Hartford. And as I approached an intersection, I noticed a Connecticut State Police car pull up in front of me at the red light. I was the first car at the intersection at the light. And I noticed gentlemen just sit there in a car. And within seconds, my car was surrounded. And I had five or six law enforcement officers with guns drawn surrounding my vehicle. Before I could even open the window, before I could do anything, I heard, "Nice move." I heard somebody yell, "Wrong truck." And I said, whoa, wait a minute here. What's going on? And I had someone mention to me that a young lady had been accosted. She was in the back of a police vehicle and apparently had given a description of a black blazer similar to what I had. And when they realized I was the wrong vehicle, they went ahead and moved. But I can tell you one thing. Boy, when you see guns pointed at you or you see guns out and drawn, your whole psyche changes.
And you want very much to get across that you're not a threat.
Again, I'm not a threat. I didn't do anything. My hands went up on that steering wheel so fast. And the whole encounter was, you know, over in seconds. And they apologized to me, and I was sent on my way. And it was a very nerve-wracking experience.
It's so easy, though, to make that mistake. I mean, I recall once when I traveled a lot in third world countries, I got pegged and by some local militia guys, and I got a whole bunch of 16-year-olds holding FALs on me, and their fingers are on the trigger, and they're shaking. And all I could think about as I was spread-eagled on the car is, what is it exactly that I need to say that gets me out of here? And I think that we have to sort of think that way, you know, at that exact point. We need to, for example, exactly as you said, in a traffic stop. I mean, I recently had a traffic stop, had a gun on my person, and I went through exactly like you did. My hands were rigidly on the steering wheel. You know, when the trooper asked, I said, obligated by Colorado law, I have to also provide my concealed carry permit, but I also know that permit's going to come up on his computer.
Right.
So I immediately say, I have my driver's license in my wallet, I have my concealed carry permit, I have a gun on my person, it is in the following position, cross draw here, I have my hands on the steering wheel, officer, tell me what you would like for me to do.
Right. I have an email here from a gentleman named Dan in Milwaukee. Let me read this real fast. Mark, I've lived in Wisconsin since retiring from the U.S. Coast Guard in the law enforcement field. Currently, I work part-time as a security officer for a private security agency and as a security specialist for a large corporation. I've been following Wisconsin open carry for over 3 years, and I will have to admit they have come a long way. However, many of them do have the attitude that they do not have to obey the police officers when they want to see identification. Why make a situation worse when they should be working with law enforcement? Showing your gun is a show of force. Showing your ID shows you are willing to take that extra step. This will only show that you are in compliance and do not have any warrants out against you. Although I respect their position on open carry, they must also show respect for the law and make it a peaceful encounter. I also have the Utah and Florida concealed carry license and hope that Wisconsin will finally have the same Wisconsin permit in place by the end of next year. I also will only open carry as the situation permits. Keep up the good work. And he follows that up with a quick email that states, oh, I almost forgot I renewed my membership with USCCA just last week. What a great deal. I've been a member since 07. Had to throw that plug in. That's from Dan in Milwaukee. And I think, and I want to let Paul and Arik and everybody else at Wisconsin Carry that's listening know that, we were not there. We don't know what happened. And this is not meant to disparage them in any way, his email. Having said that, Rob, and, boy, are we getting ready to take another break, Sean?
Yes.
Okay, how much time do we have?
Right now we have 20 seconds.
About 20 seconds before the break. Rob, I'll just throw this out at you, and then when we come back from the break, I'll let you respond, because that goes to the de-escalation, does it not?
It does. It goes to de-escalation, and it goes to what you should do, not what you can do. And that's that phrase I've used a long time now, talking about, castle doctrine. It's not about what the law says you can do. It's about what you should do to protect
yourself. Just because
yourself,
you're right doesn't mean you should do it. Is that right?
Absolutely. And I think that's Michael's point, and we'll talk about it more after the break.
You got it. We'll be right back, folks.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think no one is home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-412-7799. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-412-7799. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-412-7799. That's 1-866-412-7799.
Hi, everybody. Mark Walters here. Folks, whether you carry a gun already or are even considering it, and this is very serious business, one of the most important steps that you can take is to join the nation's number one resource for the armed citizen, the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They sponsor the show. You know who they are. Folks, now is the time to learn how to protect yourself, your family, your property, and your business with a concealed weapon, because you never know when you may need to. The USCCA is designed specifically for those of us who have chosen to take our personal defense very seriously. I've put together special membership offers for the Armed American Radio listeners, you, at jointheuscca.com. That's jointheuscca.com. Now is the time to join the USCCA and take advantage of the incredible resources available only at the USCCA. That's jointheuscca.com. These are troubling times in America, folks. Become a member today.
Deep concealment and amazing affordability combine in Galco's new Tuck and Go inside the waistband holsters. The Tuck and Go's open top allows for a fast draw, while the holster's reinforced mouth allows for smooth and easy reholstering. Available for over 35 models of handguns, the Galco Tuck and Go combines amazing affordability with the quality you expect from Galco gun leather. Galco, for those who demand the best and know the difference. To order online, please visit galcogunleather.com.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? I'd like you to get to know Visiting Angels. Visiting Angels assists senior citizens and adults to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers will provide your loved ones with assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework. Home care services are provided up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates, and you may select your caregiver before service begins. Visiting Angels has become America's choice in home care with 300 franchised locations across the nation. Call toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE. To find an office near you, visit www.visitingangels.com. For home care for your loved ones, call Visiting Angels at 877-374-LIVE. That's Visiting Angels, toll free at 877-374-LIVE. L-I-V-E.
Hi, this is Bill Bennett, and you're listening to Armed American Radio with Mark Walters, redefining weekend talk radio.
Thank you very much, Dr. Bennett. He is a doctor, isn't he, Sean?
But yes, he is.
He is. He
yes,
is.
I love Bennett.
What's the chicken fest?
That's what I call it. It's a poultry festival that's in Center, Texas, and it's going to be going on between October 7th, 8th, and 9th.
And you will be making an appearance.
Yes, I will.
That's it. Beautiful thing. You will be representing Armed American Radio.
Yes, I will. It's I'm excited. It's been a while since I've done something like that.
In what is it? Deep East Texas, baby.
Deep East, the talk of Deep East Texas.
You got to love that.
Yes, it's something else, man. I'm looking forward to it, though.
Folks, make sure you check out Armed American Radio on Facebook, please. Mark at armedamericanradio.org to get into the email, twitter.com/AARMark, and Facebook, Armed American Radio, and click that little like button up there. We're pushing 4,000 and growing like a weed, so jump on in. The water's warm. Rob Pincus, welcome back, my friend.
Always good to be here. Tonight was, I think, honestly, it's always fun to be here, but touch on some really important topics tonight. I think it was a great and powerful show, and I'm definitely going to be linking it at my Facebook and the blog and some other places to make sure that people hear what was said tonight. Really good stuff.
Agreed. Very, very important stuff, and you guys talk about it. I mean, this is just right up the alley. This is what you guys talk about on Best Defense, you and Michael and Mike Janich. Rob, you know, you've been all over the world lately. You were down in South Africa. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it was great down there. You know, we were doing some defensive firearms stuff, both with some law enforcement guys, mostly civilians. Their security situation down there is really interesting. They have some real challenges. They live their lives, they earn their pay, they go to work, they have families, they go play cricket, they play rugby, they do whatever they do, go to the pub. Living in suburbs and subdivisions just like we do, except theirs. Every house has a 10-foot wall with spikes and 3 or 5 strand electric wire. Every door and window has a security gate. And in fact, every 2-story house that I was in with my host and friends down there has a security gate between the first floor and the second floor. Wow. To buy them that extra time in the case of home invasions, which are all too common and incredibly violent. So it was a really interesting perspective down there to work with those guys. And great country, great firearms community, and but real interesting challenges that they have to face. And some of them tied to the sporting world. And maybe on a future show we can talk to how they have to attend sporting events just to qualify for multiple firearms ownership, and the way that the guys who are really interested in tactical training are dealing with that.
Now, how do you alter your training for people who are living under conditions like that?
You know, honestly, there really isn't fundamentally something like the defensive firearms, counter ambush firing stuff that we do, firearm stuff that we do with the combat focus shooting program. There's no difference. You know, they're going to be startled just like we're going to be startled. They're going to draw and present their firearms like we're going to draw and present their firearm. There was more of an emphasis on multiple threat situations and responding realistically, not, you know, swinging through a plate rack kind of multiple targets, but truly multiple threats. And trying to break our focus on that first target when we perceive it as no longer being a threat and look for that next one. I think that was a big part of what we did. But it's all, you know, the same core curriculum that we run here, the same one in the book, same one, you know, online videos, the NRA videos, Second Amendment Foundation videos. It's all that same stuff.
Now, what about weapons? Different type of weapons down there?
Well, again, because they're limited in some cases, and it takes a very long process. It seems like it's pretty straightforward to get your first firearm. After that, the process can be drawn out and met with more or less success different times, different people, different places. So one of the interesting things down there was the conversion kits that they have for their firearms. And basically, it would be considered an any other weapon in the U.S. or maybe a short-barreled rifle in the U.S. if you put like your Glock into these carbine conversion kits that they have. And one of them was called a Hera, and that one was a disaster, and the other one was called a Roni, and that one was actually pretty impressive how reliable it was and how it extended the capabilities of something like Glock 17, turning it into effectively a carbine, giving you 4 points of contact and a longer sighting radius to control obviously deviation and be able to use it further out. So that was pretty interesting. You know, just like up here, you see a lot of Glocks, M&Ps are very popular down there. I think I had one XP down there, and then, you know, a couple of other firearms that were, I think a Browning High Power was in there. There was a CZ in there somewhere, and I think that was pretty much it as far as the handguns I saw coming through there. And then the rifles, they have a Galil version, a homegrown kind of version of a Galil called an R 4, 5, or 6, depending on barrel length, and then the LM 4, 5, or 6 is the full auto version that's very popular in their military and law enforcement. And then of course they've got some ARs down there, and they've got some MP5s and things like that. So you know, the standard stuff, but very different circumstances. They're being pressed into use in amazing the percentage of students that had actually been involved in multiple situations where they had to use their firearms, and almost all of them using or involving multiple attackers.
Wow, unbelievable. Where can you direct listeners that can pick up some of your stuff, DVDs, books, because you've got a bunch of stuff out?
Well, icetraining.us, of course, as usual. You can throw my name and combat focus shooting in any search engine, and you'll find us. You'll find ICE Training Group at Facebook. I'm out there at the Facebook, downrange.tv. Michael Bain and I are both over there with the Defense and Tactics Forums, the forums supporting SWAT Magazine TV, the Best Defense, Best Defense Survival, and, of course, our blog. So we're all over the place out there.
Perfect. Michael.
Yes, indeed. We are splattered all over the internet.
Yeah, you really are. Can you give us any insight into the new television stuff you guys are doing?
Well, all kinds of neat stuff. We really are pretty heavily into filming Hot and Heavy, Best Defense Season 3. And interestingly enough, Best Defense Survival, which is our spinoff, which has been running this season, has done so well, we've been asked for an additional season on that. And I've sort of challenged Rob and Mike to do a lot of thinking about two-person tactics, three-person tactics, four-person tactics, some issues that we haven't covered anything else. Of course, we're moving forward with Shooting Gallery, which, of course, my flagship, and we're filming Season 11 on Shooting Galleries. And Shooting Gallery, and I don't want to give anything away, you know, but I woke up one morning about a month ago, and I thought, more than anything else, I needed to address the critical issue of how to kill the undead. I mean, of course, the zombie menace, we all deal with that. And I'm lucky enough to have access to the manufacturer of body parts for training military EMTs and military combat medics. So I have people I can call up and say, would you mind loaning me a couple of corpses? And they don't think that's odd. But So, I mean, we do fun stuff on Shooting Gallery. I'm also ramping up a new show, which Rob will no doubt appear as an expert on, is a show called Gun Stories. It's going to start in quarter three next year. And I'm really excited because we're going to be able to spend a couple of weeks with one of those super high-speed cameras. And there's a lot of things beyond just stopping a bullet in flight that I want to focus that camera on. There's a lot of things that we all do that we take for granted. We know how it works. We know what a draw looks like. Really? Well, we've never really slowed one down to, you know, a million frames a minute. And I think it's past time we started doing some things like that. So
yeah, that'll be fun to watch. Where can you direct listeners to find your stuff? Downrange TV, of course.
And Downrange has it's the home, sort of the overall home for the home pages for Shooting Gallery, for Cowboys, for Best Defense Survival, and even SWAT TV. And that can also lead you to the Michael Bain blog, where if I haven't offended you this week, don't worry, you're on the list.
There you go.
And I will get to you. But that stuff is going on. And hey, I'm back to writing a couple of books. My agent in New York called me up and said, "Do you ever write anything anymore?" And I said, "Will you ever give me money to write anything?" And he goes, "Of course."
I'll definitely
make sure you're on that release list.
Oh, man, I love it. Yeah, folks, I'll tell you what. You've been listening to Michael Bain from Best Defense, Downrange TV, and Rob Pincus, Combat Focus, and ICE. Great stuff. Sean, how much time? 20 seconds?
20 seconds, yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Armed American Radio Network. I'll tell you what, go back and listen to it again. Incredibly insightful stuff. Rob Pincus, thank you. Michael Bain, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will see you next week on the Armed American Radio Network.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby.
This year, most of the U.S. had the kind of weather that would make a polar bear call in an order for a Snuggie. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby with the 3-Step Plan Home Business System. If you were working from home with the 3-Step Plan, you wouldn't have to fight the snow or traffic. You wouldn't have to worry about what to do with the kids on snow days. The 3-Step Plan could make it possible for you to work from the comfort of your home and earn as much or even more than you do sliding around on the pavement going to work for somebody else. Most people build a home business with the 3-Step Plan on a part-time basis. But many do develop a business that earns more than they did working at a job. Can you picture yourself beside the fireplace with a telephone and a computer working your own business? To find out how you can make more money working from home, go to 3stepplan.com or call 800-895-6545. 800-895-6545.
Hello, this is Steve Down, author of Financially Fit for Life. Several years ago, following a business failure, I found myself in more than $1 million in personal debt. The very thought of bankruptcy put me into despair. But then I realized that if I had the ability to get $1 million in debt, that same ability could get me out of debt. I then put together a plan to pay off my debt within 5 years without filing bankruptcy. I made an amazing discovery. The plan that would pay off my debt in 5 years was the same plan that could retire me in 5 years. But you don't have to take my word for it, because I'm willing to send you my free CD that has proven to thousands how they could do the same, debt-free and financially free, all within 5 years. I know you too can do the same. Because it's free, you have nothing to lose but your debt, and you have a lifetime of financial health and wealth to gain. Call now for your free CD at 888-7-WAKE-UP. That's 888-7-WAKE-UP. 888-792-5387.